The Office of Personnel Management's retirement claims backlog is down by about 10,000 claims in the last 10 months. The average processing time is 37 days. OPM says an updated case management system will help it do better, but it's not sure yet what exactly that system will look like. Jessica Clements, legislative director for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, the association's president, Richard Thissen, testified yesterday before the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census. Jess, it's always great to have you on the program. What overall did your boss have to say to Congress about this retirement backlog situation?
Hey, Francis. Thanks for having me. We had three main points. The first of which is OPM has made considerable progress in bringing down the backlog. The backlog is almost nil. You know, a no backlog for them means about 13,000 cases in the pipeline. Right now, there's 14,000. So they've done a tremendous job. Second being the agency error rates on submissions to OPM are still way too high. Government-wide error rates are 11%. Some agencies were as high as 40-45% over the last few months. It's the percentage of claims that were sent to OPM with incomplete information, not finalized retirement packages. That is obviously a contributing factor to the backlog. And the third point NARF made yesterday at this hearing was that any money taken from the Civil Service or Retirement and Disability Trust Fund to modernize the retirement claims processing should be used very, very sparingly, if at all.
What is the progress? What has contributed, in your view, to the progress that OPM's made? Because the point that you make that they're only 1,000 cases away from pretty much breaking even is one that doesn't get a lot of attention and probably should.
You're right, it doesn't. I think what contributed is they employed some principles such as Lean Six Sigma to help employees be more efficient in terms of claims processing. They were also able to hire, I believe, 56 additional staff in addition to bringing back some re-employed annuitants.
Which is something that you and I have talked about before, not just in the context of OPM, but all across government. Bringing back people on a part-time basis is something a lot of agencies would like to do. The error rate thing is staggering. I mean,
it really is.
Even the 11% number overall strikes me as very high.
It was really high. The Postal Service actually was the only agency out of all of them that consistently had single-digit error rate percentages, you know, 4, 5, 7% across the board over time. Postal Service has been very good about making sure their submissions had less errors. The others were horrible.
What's driving that? Is it bad record keeping? Is it what kinds of mistakes are they, and where are those mistakes coming from?
You know what? That is an excellent question, and one I wish the subcommittee would have asked yesterday. The hearing was cut short by votes. I think that is a really good question, and you know, as an organization, we'd like some answers to that as well.
The solution, I think, is just to put me on the subcommittee.
I think that's the solution.
That'll never happen in 1,000 years.
Which district are you going to run in?
That's why it'll never happen in 1,000 years. The error rate issue, though, is at the core of this, I would think. I mean, if you can get those error rates down and you have fewer people and employers having to chase around information and pieces of paper, then it would seem to me you crank these things through more quickly. Is that
yes.
Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. And let's not forget that these are actual still physical pieces of paper.
All right. And we'll talk more about the modernization plan in a moment. Jason has a story about it on federalnewsradio.com. The third point that you wanted to make, I was scribbling them down as you were writing them, or as you were saying them, and I can't even read my own handwriting.
That's okay. The administration requested and received $2.6 million in fiscal year 2014 from the trust fund. That's money federal employees have contributed towards their retirement. All goes into a fund for IT modernization, for retirement claims processing modernization. We would like to know where that $2.6 million was spent, how it was spent, and caution Congress to continuing to take from this trust fund just because, as an entity, Congress is unwilling to provide funding, particularly in these days of sequestration. This is money that federal employees have contributed in the expectation of retirement security. This is not money that should be taken for granted.
And I noticed, though, when you first talked about it and when your boss testified yesterday, he wasn't saying don't do it. He was saying be very careful about how that trust fund money is administered. Did I receive the message correctly?
You did. And internally, we did have a hard time deciding, you know, what sort of line in the sand we wanted to draw on this. If they can use this money for faster processing, perhaps over time attrition of staff because the process will be automated, that will save OPM money in the long run, as well as the taxpayers, and probably make recent retirees a little bit happier than they have been over the course of the last 3 years. So it's not that they shouldn't use that money at all. It's just that if you're going to use that money, you need to produce some results. And OPM has tried, I believe, 3 times in the past to automate its retirement claims processing, and they have failed every single time. How is this time going to be any different?
Well, and that's the big question that we're looking at as we see, you know, Jason reports we have the results of an industry day, 17 vendors telling OPM what they would be able to do to build this case management system, and they're going to release a solicitation, OPM says, in 2015, and all the details on that are at federalnewsradio.com. We'll chat more about that in a moment, but as far as using that trust fund money, Jesse, if it can be used for a faster processing and it can be used for attrition of staff, I just the cynic in me says they could use it for something else at some other point in time, and that would put your members and other retirees in more of a precarious position. The idea of using it for this reform system is very noble, but I wonder what kind of controls might be necessary to make sure it doesn't become just another trust fund that can get dipped into whenever there's a shortfall someplace.
Exactly. The cynic in me thinks the exact same thing. Not to mention, where is the onus on Congress to oversee how this money is spent when it's not money that they had to appropriate?
Well, that's a good point. On the retirement system, the IT update part of this, I mentioned that they're going to do some market research and the industry day demonstration from earlier in the year to release a solicitation. What is your sense of what that should look like? And do we have any confidence, you and your colleagues in the advocacy community, that OPM has learned the lessons from the times they tried to do this before and weren't able to finish the job?
Well, we've talked to Director Archuleta about this in the past, and in those meetings, she's made it very clear, you know, the Social Security Administration really has this down. You can go online, you can get real-time updates, you know what's in your account, et cetera, et cetera. I think in an ideal world, what goes on at the Office of Personnel Management in terms of federal employee retirement claims would look something similar. I don't want to speak for OPM,
sure,
and I am certainly not an IT expert, but I would think a system like that where you could get real-time updates, where you would know at any given time what your employment file looks like to make sure nothing's missing, would seem to be, you know, the end goal here. From my perspective, that would be the common sense way to go.
In other news, we have information about Jason's story, and it includes some of the testimony that your boss gave at federalnewsradio.com, Jesse. Jessica Clements, the legislative director for National Active and Retired Federal Employees. At some point in the next 7 hours or so, we're going to get some kind of result on the continuing resolution. God only knows what it's going to be at this point. David Hawkins from Roll Call will tell me what is happening in about 20 minutes on Federal News Radio. But we'll see. What it sounds like is we're going to see a CR for maybe another day or two to give the Senate a chance to pass the big kahuna tomorrow. And it appears, despite some last-minute wrangling attempts to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, that we will get this done. There will be no shutdown, and everybody will be able to go home for the holidays, at least on the Hill. What is your sense of how this shakes out for federal employees? Does this make any difference for the pay and benefits stuff? Certainly that makes the budget certainty operationally a little bit easier, but what's the difference in the wallet, if any?
Well, the difference is that at this point in time, it is 5 o'clock, and we are 7 hours from a government shutdown.
I know.
I hate to say that, and I hate when other people say it, because, my gosh, like, are we really back here again? Like, this was just a year ago. I wish I had a sense of what's going to happen. I think the people I've talked to on the Hill really don't at this point in time have a sense of what's going to happen. I know they're preparing a CR. I know that they're working on a short-term and possibly even a longer-term CR. The president threw his support behind the Cromnibus earlier today, hoping to garner up some Democratic support. But in the words of one of my colleagues, it's quite possible that the GOP overplayed their hand on this one. This was a must-pass bill that has a ton of riders, that has nothing to do with appropriations, and they may have overstepped.
Oh dear, it's going to be a late.
It's going to be a long night.
It's going to be a long night. All right.
Let's say I'm happy I'm not working on the Hill anymore.
Well, you know what? You deliver information, and we don't always like to hear the information such as it is, but I thank you for giving us the latest that you know. Great to have you on, as always.